You know, we have had an amazing week this week with the fasting, and fasting is a wonderful thing. But a lot of people fast for different reasons. People fast for direction. People fast because they want to, you know, they want to be closer to God. People fast because there is a calamity coming and they want that to be prevented. There's so many reasons for fasting, and as a corporate body, we're fasting because really we want to go closer to God. And all of us, we've got stuff in our life that need to be cleaned out. All. Not one of us is like so perfect, you know. And as we fast, we get closer to God. We get to hear Him. We get to hear His voice. And we get to have things in our heart that need to be cleaned out. And the Lord will specifically speak to us. What are the things that He wants us to do, you know? So I've asked Kay and Jude to just share a little testimony about, you know, they've been fasting and how the Lord is touching them as they're fasting. Because, you know, some of you, this is a new thing, but I believe that God is calling us for a lifestyle of fasting. It's going to be a lifestyle. And we don't have to be super spiritual for that. One thing, like Susan Toon was talking yesterday about, she's fasting chocolates because chocolate is something that is strong in her life, you know. Some people are fasting coffee. Some people are fasting food. I'm doing a Daniel fast, and everybody is doing differently. You can do fasting TV or something. But as we start, you know, we have to intentionally go to God and say, God, I intentionally want to come closer to you. And this is something that I'm doing. It's like a relationship with you and your spouse. Even if you're married for so many years, we have to intentionally make time for one another, right? Even for friends, we have to intentionally make time for friends. So, Kay, why don't you come and quickly give a very quick testimony, like a 1 minute. We call it a popcorn testimony. 1 minute testimony.
Oh, this is really stretching me today, especially after I came. Well, okay. The thing is, like, I was so happy that I started this fasting. It's a 40 days fasting, and I told myself, because I usually fast like one day a month or a week or whatever, but I told myself, God, 40 days of fasting, I would really like to try that. But then I start thinking that would be really hard. But, you know, come Tuesday, which was the 23rd, I take a look at the sheet here, the week of February 23rd to 27th, Christian Living, Thanksgiving, Praise and Worship. I said, well, this is a good thing. Now I'll be focusing on something, what I'm fasting for, instead of just fasting and thinking what else to talk about and all that. So I focused on that, and I was amazed when I start fasting, like from 12 o'clock, I went to bed, didn't sleep, slept all the way, didn't eat. And I got up and I said, I'm going to do a partial fasting. So I made a flask of tea and put it aside. And I started to fast. I was amazed that I wasn't hungry, because if you purpose in your heart to do something, God will come true. And that's what happened. I wasn't hungry, and I was amazed. I was fasting Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But on Friday, I almost gave up. But thank God. And you know what? I noticed God is really giving me answers to praise, because we were going through a time in our business. My husband came in and said, oh, I had such a great day. You never know what God will come true with. Okay, so just get on that fasting, trust God, and watch Him work.
Breakthroughs around the corner, you know that. Eh? Don't keep going. Breakthroughs around the corner.
You know, one of the very first times I did a 40-day fast, it was, I think, in the late 90s or something like that. I was working once a week at Followers Mission as a volunteer, and I was still running a Mary Kay business and traveling internationally. Anyways, what happened was we did this fast and we just drank protein powder for 40 days. It's basically what we did to keep our energy level up so we could keep working, but we didn't eat anything. We didn't drink coffee, nothing like that. And it was a corporate fast, like something like what we're doing right now. Anyways, I didn't really realize it, but the day that we were to break the fast, like the 40th day, was Easter Sunday. And Steve Long had arranged for us to bring a whole bunch of the street guys out to follow or to the main church for baptism. So John Bootsman and Steve were in the tank, and we were getting all these guys. We had like about 30 guys getting baptized that day. And at the very end, God spoke to me and said, you're next. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm next? Anyways, I went in and, like, I got water baptized after, like, all these guys, right? I mean, really, would that be something like I would want to do? You know, think about it. And so I went in and I got baptized. And when I came out, something had really changed. And then God started really speaking to me clearly. And it was really close to that, like about a year or so later, that I was able to walk away from a $200,000 a year business. You know, like I was making huge money, walk away with nothing, taking nothing with me, and get involved in what God is doing in outreach and missions. And I'm not saying, oh, aren't I great? I'm saying it was a result of the fasting, hearing clearly what God, and then trying my best to be obedient. Fasting is a way of life. Honestly, if you really want spiritual breakthrough, you need to start fasting. And Alex is right. Any way that the Lord would speak to you. You know what he told me this time? I'm fasting Sundays for Mission Fest and have done for about the last month. But God started speaking to me about our church, and he gave me a list of yes and no. Yes to this, no to that. Yes to this, no to that. And I've just been following it along. And just like Kay said, not hungry, no cravings. You know, I can't believe I'm not craving chocolate. I can't believe it. Because truly, I really enjoy chocolate. So there you go. Anyways, that's just give it a try.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Every one of them, they don't have the craving, but I do have the craving. I'm like, oh, like, because I love food. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I really want to eat that. But God, I made a promise. I'm not going to do that. So I guess I will need to have those girls pray for me because I really like this food. And I'm not eating it. I guess everybody's different for everyone. And for us, you know, when we do baptism for us, the next time that we're going to start doing baptism, we will be able to do the baptism here. And the cool thing is that they can go through the ride and come down and get baptized. That's a cool way of getting baptized. I guess I will freak out all the religious spirit when I do that. What are they doing? This is not from God. Did Jesus have that? Anyway, today I want to talk to you about... Every week when we do the fasting, we're going to talk about what we've been praying on. And this week we've been praying on Christian living and to praise God, to worship him, and Christian living basically, right? And I was asking the Lord, what is it that you would like for me to speak? There's so many things we can speak on, the Christian living. We can come up with anything. And I found that the Lord asked me to talk about Jonah. How many know the story of Jonah? Some of you know the story of Jonah. I'm just going to recap what the story of Jonah is. Jonah is an amazing prophet. He's from Galilee. And Jonah, there's only four chapters. It's very easy. In every Sunday school, if you've been in a Sunday school, you hear the story of Jonah. And when you hear Jonah, it's like a big whale. They see a picture of a big whale, the big fish eating Jonah. Jonah didn't want to do that. And I'm just going to give you a recap what the story of Jonah is. Jonah is a prophet that the Lord has asked him to go to Nineveh to preach repentance. And he didn't want to do that. What did Jonah do? Jonah went the other side. And the other side of it is, which is now called Spain. He decided he doesn't want to do that. And he went in the boat. And in the boat, things doesn't go the way it should be. The sea was going up and down, and they're like, who is that? And Jonah was sleeping in the boat, and the captain come and said, Jonah, what is up? They cast the lot, and they realized that it was Jonah. They said, Jonah, what happened? Jonah said, I ran away. So they get Jonah, and they throw him in the water. Can you imagine? And a big fish ate Jonah. He was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. And then suddenly the fish spit him out on dry land, and he has to walk and go to Nineveh and preach. I think he was the best preacher because as he preached, people repent. It's like, you know, I go to, what is that, Food Basic? Excuse me, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and everybody repent. It's like I have to be a really anointed preacher to be able to do that, you know. And he went and he preached and people repent. And on top of that, even the king called for a fast. And they fast, and God's mercy, God's and grace, you know what? That Nineveh was spared. It would have been destroyed, and it got spared because Jonah decided to go. And then when Jonah went there, and then after Jonah has his own issue, like every leader, like everybody, God has to deal with him. God bring a little plant and a little worm, explain to him about, because what happened now is that Jonah didn't like those people. He was upset that the Lord redeemed those people. And he has his little issue with God. So God has to deal with him in a different story, you know. And that's in chapter 4. So, but that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, I really want you, but when we see Jonah, the story of Jonah, what came up to me really is not about the whale. It's not about the big fish. It's about the goodness of God, the grace of God and obedience. Because God is a very good God. This Nineveh could have been destroyed easily. But God, by his grace, has sent Jonah to come and to preach repentance. And when he preached repentance, you've got to understand the reason why Jonah doesn't like Nineveh. Because the Assyria was there. And these people were torturing them. So if somebody always is you know, bombarding you with bad stuff, you don't want to have anything to do with them. That's why he did not like it when God asked him to go there. As we are fasting, we are asking God for, you know what, more Christian living. I believe that the book of Jonah, each one of us will be able to relate to Jonah in a different way. So let's turn to verse 4. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. I want you to see something here. And the Lord sent out a great wind. It was not the devil. A lot of times when things happen in our life, we say, oh, it's the devil. It was very clear here that it says, the Lord sent out a great wind. Sometimes the storm in our life, which is from the devil, just like an example is Paul. And sometimes it's not from the devil, it's from God. When we go through a storm, God wants to teach us to make the right decision so that we can get out of it victorious. A storm is not always from the devil. Sometimes it could be from God. And you know what? One of the things that I really, really felt like this morning as we look at this passage where the Lord sent the storm, a great wind. I feel like in our lives, sometimes God sends wind. And when the wind comes, it blows everything and you can't really hold on to them because it's blowing. Is it happening in your life that you feel like the wind is blowing and you can't hold on to things and the only thing that you have to hold on to is dear Lord? Because all of us will go through those stages. Even Jesus, he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Spirit. You know, sometimes when the wind blows in our life, we've got to understand that he is for us. And if we are able to understand that, we will be able to walk from victory to victory. The righteous man will fall, but he will stand up and keep going. It's okay to fall, but stand up and keep going. That's the key. And you know what? In this, I can see how when the Lord sent, you know, like sometimes things happen in our life and God wants us to do something and we choose not to do that. We disobey God. And disobedience is sin, basically. And all of us, we disobey God in little things, in big things, we all have. And God wants to bring us back into that place where we say, God, you know what? We want to keep moving forward. We don't want to disobey you. You know, sometimes, and I've noticed like with leaders, God's leash seems to be shorter. Like with King Saul, he will give him one warning, second warning, and the leash seems to be shorter. I believe that much is given, much will be required. If you hear the word of God over and over and over again, you know it's true, and we do not do it. That is disobedience, and God wants us to start doing that. And the Bible says we can do all things for Christ who strengthens us. He is going to strengthen us to be able to do the things that he requires us to do. He's a holy God, and he requires obedience. That's who he is. And you know, maybe God is saying, you know what, I want you to start forgiving. And we're like, oh my goodness, I can't do that. I want to read a verse in 2 Corinthians 2:11. It talks about to stay in a state of forgiveness so that Satan might not outwit us, so that we are for we are not unaware of his scheme. We have to stay in a state of forgiveness all the time. I'm going to share a little bit what forgiveness means. Forgiveness is you forgive the person. That doesn't mean that you have to be their best buddy. Do you understand what I mean? Like if somebody trespass and come into your house, and if somebody go into a house and make a big mess in that house and just, you know, do things that they shouldn't do, you forgive that person. But that doesn't mean you have to get that person back into your house all the time. You forgive them, and you don't have to be their best buddy, because sometimes we mix forgiveness with that. We feel like if we forgive the person, we have to be their best buddy. No, we don't. We don't have to be. Forgiveness is a state where you say, you know what, I forgive you. I let you go. You don't owe me nothing. I don't owe you nothing. But we do not have to be best buddies, you know. When you look at the person, if you can look at a person and you want the best of that person, regardless of that what that person has done to you, you know true forgiveness has come. If you look at that person and you say, you know what, you really deserve what you did, then there's not true forgiveness. Do you understand what I mean? When you look at the person and you say, you know what, I want the best for you. You might not be my best friend, but I want the best for you. And you're happy when this person is getting good things from the Lord. You're happy for that person. That is true forgiveness. So some of the storm that will be keep coming into our life, and maybe God is saying something, or God is saying, I would like you to start giving. Or God say, I want you to start zipping, don't say anything. Or I want you to start saying something, and we don't want to say it because we're afraid that this person is going to be offended. You know, God is going to teach us as we start fasting. He's going to teach us some of the things that he wants us to do. And as we start obeying him, we will see that when we get out of that storm, we'll be able to walk through the storm and go into the dry land. And, you know, there is always a consequence to sin. I've always explained it like that. If somebody disobey the law, they kill a few people, and they become a Christian, and they ask God to forgive them, do you think the Lord will forgive them? Are you sure? They really kill people. Do you think the Lord will forgive them? I believe so. If they repent, true repentance. Repentance is not lip service. Oh, you know, Jude, forgive me. You know, I repent, and then I keep doing the same thing. This is not called repentance. This is called lip service. Repentance means you're going on one way, you're going, and you're going down, and you say, stop, I choose not to do that, and then you turn, and you go the other way. That is true repentance. Lip service is that you go, and then you say, I'm really sorry, and you keep going. Oh, I'm really, really sorry, and you keep going. Oh, I'm really, really sorry. I'm sorry. This is not repentance. This is lip service. And that is not what God is asking of us. God is asking of us to turn and to do the exact opposite of what we're doing. Because if we keep going where we are going, it's not going to be a good thing. We have to turn back. And you know what? In all honesty, a lot of people, they really, truly repent. There's something in them that stops them from doing the right thing. It's like, you know, some people, they have a bad habit of, I don't know, maybe swearing or something. And they really repent. They really truly say, you know, God, I don't want to swear anymore. And for some odd reason, that thing just came out of their mouth. And they can't take it back. And you know, when this happens, is this something beyond them? Then maybe they need a little bit more counseling, or maybe they need some deliverance that need to be done. Do you know what I mean? Because some people genuinely want to, they genuinely repent, and they genuinely cannot change it because they cannot use their own effort to do that. It doesn't seem to happen easily. And I will encourage, if this is something that happened, if, for example, you have a problem with pornography or something like that, and you genuinely don't want to keep going that because you know it's not good, but for some reason you're always attracted to that, what happened? You probably need some deliverance, or you probably need some deep counseling, some root that has been in your life that has sucked the life out of you, and you are draining from it. And now when you want to get away from it, you really can't, and you need healing for that. And there is a consequence to sin, unfortunately. You know, even if you forgive that person, the consequence is that the person still go to jail. There's a consequence to sin. If somebody get a child out of wedlock, the Lord does forgive that person if that person asks for forgiveness. But that person still need to raise that child up in the ways of the Lord. There are some consequences. So that's why it's, sometimes, you know what, when we pray, we say, Lord, we pray that the consequences are not going to be that severe. And you know what? I know one of the pastors at TACF, and he has talked about that many times. He used to sell drugs before. And what happened is that the police has him on the blacklist. God supernaturally removed his name from the blacklist. This is totally God. Today, if you check his name with the police, it's cleared. It's done supernaturally. I believe God is a God of supernatural. He can do things above what we could ever imagine or think. So yes, there's a consequence to sin, but also I believe there's a supernatural God, a God of the suddenly that we can trust, and we say, and you know what, when we genuinely repent, I do believe that God can do something. I'm going to go from verse 15 now with Jonah. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. You know, when they threw Jonah in the sea, the man who was with him, they were fearful. Sometimes when things happen in our life, when storm happen in our life, people around us are afraid for us. They look at us and say, I really don't want to be in your shoes. But this is the best time to trust God, because we need God. This is the best time to say, God, you can do it. With you, anything is possible. And you trust God, and you will see those people start offering praise to the Lord because they can see what the Lord has done. Don't go back. Trust God. This is an opportunity to show the greatness of our God, to show how God is good. If the doctor came with a report, you know what? This is what I'm seeing in you. You're like, perfect. Perfect for God to do a miracle in my life. If you go to work and it's like, oh, this is what is happening, you lose your job, perfect for God to open a bigger door for you. If you go and relationship are broken, perfect for God to come in and to change that. And people around you will see how big of a God you serve. Jonah, the people, when he threw him and he see the sea calm, they were afraid of that God. They say, who is that God? Now, verse 17, now the Lord has prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. You see how good God is? The Lord himself has prepared a great fish. A fish where Jonah can stay in for 3 days and three nights. You know what? He's a good God. Don't you see his goodness into that? I just see his goodness. I might not like the fish, but at least the fish was there to keep him for 3 days and three nights. You know? And the Lord himself prepared that. I believe sometimes when we are in a storm, the Lord prepared good things for us. But when we see the fish, we're like, oh God, is that from you? It must be from the devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But sometimes God sent fish. He prepared a big fish for us. And the interesting thing is going to happen. We're going to keep looking at that. And in chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to his Lord. He prayed to the Lord, his God, from his fish belly. He prayed. When the Lord prepared a big fish for him and swallowed him, he started praying. That's an amazing thing. When you are in the midst of something, of a storm, you might see everything around you not right. We might blame our parents. We might blame our spouse. It's so easy to blame generational curse and everything. And it does happen. I'm not saying that this doesn't happen. These things do happen. Our parents, what happened in their life, it might go down into a generation. But you know what? The Lord has given all of us the ability to get out of that. And here we see that the Lord prepared a big fish and Jonah started to pray. You know, when you're in trouble, the Bible say, what did the Bible say when you're in trouble? Pray. The Bible say, pray without ceasing. James 5:13. Is anyone in trouble? Pray. pray. Sometimes you will find yourself in a situation that you don't have time to call your friend. Sometimes you will, but sometimes you will find yourself in a situation where you will not have time to call your friend. What do you do? You pray. Pray, pray, pray. And that's a good thing to do. There's power in the prayer of agreement, but there's also power when the believers have faith and start praying. You know, one thing that have always amazed me, I'm like, you know, one third of the angels were fallen and these are the demons and stuff like that. How come they're doing so many damage to people? And I've realized that, you know what, the population is increasing and it seems that the demon is doing bad thing as well. It's because why? As believers, we are not taking our stand. If all of us are taking our stand, they cannot do what they plan to do. Their scheme will turn upside down if we start, because they are the same members. We have increased. So what is it? There's something. We need to start taking the crown that the Lord has given us and start praying and taking back what the enemy has stolen from us. You know, he stole our peace. He stole our destiny. He stole our time. It's like, no, enough is enough. We're going to thank God for the big fish that he has given us. And when we are in the midst of that fish, we choose to pray. And if we keep looking, we see that on verse 9, chapter 2, he pray and then with the voice of thanksgiving, he start praising God. That is a powerful, powerful lesson if we can learn. In the midst of anything, start praising God. You know, there are so many, many examples in the Bible where when people start praising God, things start to happen. Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, they were praying. They didn't know if they start praising. They haven't seen the chain broken yet. When they were praising God, what was happening? They were still in jail. And how many knows that those days, those jails are not like the one that we have now? No TV. I'm telling you, no food. Here in our jail, we have balanced diet food. Good food. Over there, it's like, no. Here they have bed to sleep. Over there, no bed. What were they doing? They were praising God. Still in that state of jail. And some of you, you know what? You might be in jail. You might not be physically in jail, but you might be a prisoner of your emotion. You might be a prisoner of your own mouth. You might be a prisoner where God has put you in your workplace. You feel like it's dead and it's not going anywhere. But God says, let's learn from those people. Start praising God. Because as we start praising God, the shackle is going to break. The shackle is going to break and you will be able to get out of that. Just like Jonah, when he started praising, what does the Bible say? The Lord spoke to the fish, verse 10, and it vomited Jonah into dry land. When we start praising, for some odd reason, it changed the way God sees things. When we start praising him, you know, God cannot lie to his word. When we start praising him, chains start to break. Whatever situation you are right now, relationship, whatever situation, finances, anything, start praising God. Start praising God. I remember a couple of weeks ago, there was such a heaviness upon me. And John is like, you're not going to be like that. I said, yes, I'm not. I start standing up and I start praising God. As I start praising God, everything just broken off me. And you know what? It was just so quick and so easy. And yet I know the word of God and I was not doing it. But as I step in and start doing it, I can see these things start just automatically just shackle. It's like I was free. These things has no effect on my life anymore. These things that was bothering me so bad, it was like, you know what, God? It's not mine. It's yours. I don't care anymore because it's your church. It's your trouble. It's your people. It's you. God, just break it. You know, like the things that happen in your life, you just give it to God. And as you start praising, how many of you have been in situation, like tough situation, and you start praising God because you felt like the Lord said, you know what, start praising him. How many of you have done that? How many of you never done that? I encourage you. It's okay if you haven't done that, because you know what? We always have to start somewhere. There's nothing wrong in having never done that before. But we all will go through some storm in our life. You know, we can let the bird fly over us, but we don't let them to nest on our head. Problem will come. Situation will arise. As long as we have people, as long as there's relationship, situation will arise. But we don't let them nest on our head. And one of the way of doing that is to praise Him. And Christian living, as we're fasting, as we're talking about how we're going to do, how we're going to fast and how we're going to allow God to start working now in our heart, I really felt that the message for this morning is praise Him. Praise Him at all times. Praise Him in situations where we feel like it's dead end. Praise Him when you feel like that, you know what, I've prayed for my husband and he's getting worse. I don't know what's happened. Keep praising Him. Keep praising Him. And you are praying and the money is depleting. Keep praising Him. You know that God is never late. He always comes at the last minute, but He's never late. Never late. He's a good God. He said He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's His word. That's not my word. But the thing is that we've got to get in proper alignment with Him. We don't have lip service. We say, God, you know what? I want to follow You. And even if I don't feel like I want to do it, I will do it because You've asked me to do it. And as we step into faith and as we start doing the things that He wants us to do, you will see doors are going to open. But if we choose to say, you know, yes, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But you keep doing the things that you want to do. I can guarantee you it's not going to happen. If we have been doing something in our life and nothing has changed, something needs to change. Because if it doesn't change, nothing will change. If we don't choose to change, change is a good thing as long as it's a godly change.